Perek Dalad, Mishnah Beis. Lulav Shiva Ketzat. So we mentioned in the previous Mishnah yesterday, in the opening of the chapter, that the lulav, sometimes the lulav bundle can be taken for 7 days, and sometimes for 6 days. So let's see. Lulav Shiva Ketzat. When do we find that the lulav bundle was taken for all 7 days of Sukkot? So that would be when Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, the first day of the Yom Tov, Shechal Liot B'Shabbos, that fell out on Shabbos, so the first day of Sukkot falls out on a Shabbos, then Lulav Shiva, the Lulav is taken all 7 days. So how's that work? So here's a breakdown. We had explained earlier in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Beis, that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Lulav was taken in the Beis HaMikdash all 7 days, right? Based on the pasuk of Usmach Tavlafnei Hashem Lokechem, you shall rejoice before Hashem your God. So before Hashem your God was in the Beis HaMikdash, Shivas Yamim 7 days is all 7 days. So there you have it, right? So the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the actual Beis HaMikdash, it took the lulav bundle all 7 days. But everywhere else, you know, in all the cities around the Beis HaMikdash, they only took the lulav for 1 day. Okay, as the Torah says, you take it on the first day, and it just says you take it on the first day, and that's it, meaning only 1 day. So that's how it used to be. In the Beis HaMikdash, 7 days, and everywhere else, just 1 day. Now, since the main mitzvah of the lulav and the obligation to shake the lulav, generally we find that the explicit mitzvah to take the lulav bundle is that's explicit in the Torah is on the first day. Okay, since we find there's an emphasis on the first day, take the chacham. The chacham made an enactment shlotin tilat lulav doches Shabbos, meaning that lulav could be doches Shabbos. It could push off Shabbos only if it's on the first day. Only if the first day of the Chag fell out on Shabbos, but not on the other days, right? Because again, the first day we find that it has a very, very strong Torah level. So therefore, if it falls out on Shabbos, you have a Torah mitzvah against the Torah mitzvah of Shabbos, we'll say that it could push off Shabbos. But the rest of the days of the Chag cannot push off Shabbos. Okay, and the reason that we said that it can't push off Shabbos was we had a gzera, lest one go and carry lulav outside in the public domain and be carrying, right? So therefore, only when the first day of the Chag fell out on Shabbos was a push off Shabbos. So it comes out, if the first day of the Chag fell out on Shabbos, then you took the lulav on Shabbos and you took the lulav all other 6 days, so it was a total of 7 days. Whereas if the first day of the Chag fell out just, you know, Ushar Kol Yom, all the other days, if any other day fell out on Shabbos other than the first, so then we don't take the lulav on Shabbos. It's just Shisha. You only have 6 days, because 1 day you're not taking because it's Shabbos, and the other 6 days you would. So that would be the case when the lulav is only taken for 6 days, because we wouldn't take the lulav on Shabbos if any other day other than the first day fell out on Shabbos. Now, this, by the way, is only Bismana, this is all during the times of the Beis HaMikdash, right? However, nowadays, the lulav is not taken on Shabbos regardless. Even if the first day fell out on Sukkot. And the reason is because since we have this Sfeik of the Yoma, we're not sure about with the calendars, you know, which day is the first day, right? We actually have 2 days as the first day in anywhere outside Eretz Yisrael, because we're not sure which is the first day. So we like have a custom to do the 2 first days as if they have the din of the first day, the law of the first day. So since we don't really know which is the first day nowadays, so therefore we can't say that the first day is pushing off Shabbos, because we don't even know which one it is, because we have, you know, because of the calendar system, we have doubts of when the first day really applies. And even though at Eretz Yisrael, they actually have 1 day Yom Tov, right? If you go to Eretz Yisrael, all the Israelis, they keep 1 day, right? But even them, they're not going to carry if the first day fell out on Shabbos due to the fact that the except the practice was not to carry lulav on the first day once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, regardless of where you are. So that's the breakdown over here. During the times of the Beis HaMikdash, if the first day fell out on Shabbos, then you shook the lulav all 7 days. Otherwise, you only shook it 6 days. And nowadays, regardless of when Sukkot falls out, the first day is on Shabbos or not, it will always be just 6 days. Mishnah Gimel. Arava Shiva Ketzad. We said the mitzvah of Arava sometimes can be for 7 days, sometimes can be for 6 days. So here's the breakdown. So we had mentioned in the introduction to the Masechta, that aside from the Arava that was taken along with the Lulav bundle, there was a separate Arava that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash, that they would stand up near the side of the Mizbeach. We'll learn about this more in detail in Mishneh. It's a halacha l'Moshe miSinai, meaning God told Moshe at Har Sinai this mitzvah. It's not explicit in the Torah. It was just, you know, given over orally from God to Moshe on Har Sinai. And this Arava, you know, that they would do, sometimes the mitzvah was for 6 days, sometimes for 7 days. Let's explain. The Yom Shvi'i Shel Arava, if the seventh day of the Arava, Shechal Liyo B'Shabbos, it fell out on Shabbos. Arava Shiva, then the Arava would be taken for 7 days. Meaning, if the seventh day of Sukkot, the seventh day of the Arava means the seventh day of Sukkot, the last day of Sukkot, if it fell out on Shabbos, then the mitzvah of the Arava that was put, that they would put next to the Mizbeach, they'd have a practice they would do that we'll learn about later on, it would push off Shabbos, and then once that would happen, so you have, you know, all 7 days you're taking the Arava, because they'd put this Arava next to the Mizbeach. It was a long, long, long Arava, not like your regular Arava in your bundle. And they would put it next to the Mizbeach, and they had a procedure they would do. So if the seventh day fell out on Shabbos, that seventh day can push off Shabbos, and therefore it comes out, they're taking the Arava all 7 days, from day one all the way to day seven, because day seven is not being pushed off, because day seven fell out on Shabbos, and it can push off Shabbos. Ushar kol yamim. But if any other of the days of the Chag fell out on Shabbos, then it doesn't push off Shabbos. And Shisha, you'd only take the Arava bundle for 6 days, right? You wouldn't have the commandment to do the Arava, rather you only have it for 6 days. Because on Shabbos, you wouldn't bring the Arava to the Mizbeach if it wasn't the seventh day that fell out on Shabbos. So before we explain this, very simply, there was a mitzvah that they would take this giant Arava and put it near the Mizbeach. And we'll learn very, very soon what they did with it. If the last day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbos, it would push off Shabbos, and then you'd be performing this Arava service every day, all 7 days. But if any other day fell out on Shabbos, it won't push off Shabbos, and therefore you'd be performing the Arava service only 6 days. Now to expand upon this a little bit, the Kahati explains as follows. The Gemara explains that since the mitzvah of the Arava is not explicit in the Torah, it's an oral mitzvah. The mitzvah was given from Hashem to Moshe at Har Sinai orally, but it's not explicit in the Torah. So the Chachamim wanted to show the strength that this is really a Torah-level mitzvah, not the rabbinic-level mitzvah. And to do that, the Chachamim made a tikkun, an enactment, that the last day of the Chag, if it fell out on Shabbos, in order to show that this is really a Torah-bound mitzvah, they would push off Shabbos. And so why the seventh day? Why not the first day? Why not the second day? So they didn't want to do the first day, because then a person would get mixed up, you know, with the mitzvah of Lulav. There's a Lulav, you know, Lulav is pushed off, Lulav pushes off Shabbos if the first day fell on Shabbos. So maybe Arava is the same thing, but it's not true, right? They would say, I'm sorry, a different explanation. The Chacham had to pick, again, what's the Chacham's purpose over here? What they want to do is they want to show the importance of this mitzvah, that it's a Torah-bound mitzvah, even though it's not explicit in the Torah, because it was orally given to Moshe at Har Sinai. So they want to show that by demonstrating that it'll push off Shabbos. The question is which day of the week will push off Shabbos? If it's the first day of the Chag, so people are going to say that it doesn't push off Shabbos, rather because we're taking the Lulav anyway, so yeah, we'll take the Arava also. Not that the Arava has the power to push off Shabbos. So the Chacham said, you know what? Then let's use the last day. Because the middle day is not really significant. The last day is significant. And by showing that the last day fell out on Shabbos, it pushes off Shabbos, we show the importance of the mitzvah that it is Torah-bound, not just rabbinic, and it has the power to push off Shabbos, and that's why they pick the last day, so that you don't say, you know, if it was the first day, they would say, oh yeah, they're pushing it off because of Lulav, and let's just push it off because of the Arava also. No. They would push it off because of the Arava in and of itself. And they picked the seventh day to show that the Arava is independent of the Lulav, and it's a Torah-bound mitzvah, and it's so powerful that it'll push off Shabbos, and you'd have to perform that service on Shabbos. So, if the last day of the Chag fell out on Shabbos, you would take the Arava bundle all 7 days, because the last day would push off Shabbos. Whereas if any other day fell out on Shabbos, and wasn't the last day, they would not take it on Shabbos, and then you'd only have 6 days. So that's how you have the seven and the six. Now, this is all during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Nowadays, we don't have this custom. We don't take an Arava for the Beis HaMikdash, except only on the seventh day alone, on Hoshana Rabbah. Not every single day like they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Because, let's see over here. Yeah, because it's only, they say here, it's like a minig neviim. It's a custom of the prophets. The Rambam writes that since taking the Arava outside the Beis HaMikdash, in the cities outside the Beis HaMikdash, was a custom. So therefore, nowadays, at the most, we'll just do it once. Okay? And the Rambam writes, this Arava that we take is not explicit in the Torah, but it's a Torah bar mitzvah nonetheless, right? And we only take it on the seventh day. Okay? And what do? We take either, one bundle or several bundles, and we slap it against the ground, or we slap it against the utensil several times without a bracha. And this is the minhag of the Nevi'im, the minhag of the custom of the prophets. And we do this in the shuls nowadays. That's what we do on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Everyone buys a new Arava bundle, just an Arava bundle, without the lulav and everything, and we whack it on the ground. So we do this just to remember what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. And to conclude this concept, so the Beis HaMikdash, they took it all 7 days. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, they only took it 1 day on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And nowadays, we only take it 1 day on Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. And in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, would only push off Shabbos if the seventh day fell on Shabbos. And nowadays, regardless which day falls out on Shabbos, it won't push off Shabbos. And that wraps up Mishnah Gemara.